Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your host, Leslie M. Scott Jones and David Von Strawn. And now, here's Dave and Leslie.
Hello!
Oh, my God!
Charlottesville!
That's really loud.
It is 10 o'clock. It is March the 25th, and this is Homegrown, your show about local art here. In the brand new, changing Charlottesville, 94.7 WPUC. I saw the change yesterday.
I'm sorry.
Well, you gotta cut the brother down. Why you gotta cut the brother down?
I'm not.
Let it roll, David.
Let it roll. Go, David.
No, I'm jaded now. My fire's disappeared.
Now you have nothing to say. Oh my God.
I'm going back.
Our first guest.
Yeah, it's me, David Von Strawn,
aka the Devious One. Blah, 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 blah.
With me as always is the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Morning, everybody.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Oh my God, really? That's what I get? I don't even get like. I get hey, girl. That's what I get. That's nice, David. Thank you.
We don't
Thank
got you. Time for banter.
Right? No, there's no banter. Sorry.
Banter
we have to get right to the guest.
Jam packed show. It's an amazing show. Full about art, full about blackness. You know how we do.
Woo! I just realized.
We give you that black coffee in Charlottesville on Sunday.
I just realized we have a caucus. There are four black people in this room. We have a caucus.
We can make rules. We can make rules. All right. First guest, Justin Reed, Director of African American Programs, Virginia Humanities. Beautiful eyes.
Thank you. It's a long story.
Right?
Undertold histories. There's a history
you,
there.
You got to tell me about the eyes, brother.
He has like, I know.
Anything.
He has like the most gorgeous, for y'all ocular. Who aren't looking on Facebook, he has the most gorgeous.
Brother.
Like,
I mean,
jelly.
Smoky gray. Jelly. Like gorgeous.
That speaks
gorgeous.
To jelly. The long history of slavery
yeah.
in Central Virginia. And
yeah.
Like that. Jelly
right?
that.
Right?
All connected. But my great-grandmother was a... biracial, and it's crazy because we believe her half sister, who was white, lived on the same street, and they had like this secret friendship throughout their life.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so they couldn't openly share that they were related.
Of course not.
So long history.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow, that's you would say that's
you are just all about untold stories.
How about
we
that?
Are. We are.
You know,
we are.
And you're the perfect person to put together this hashtag Unseen Sevil project that's going down for April 5th. Six.
It's continuing from now until the quotes fade from the landscape.
Right on.
Awesome.
So, and definitely, I guess, until this point. Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell us all about it.
So, I guess maybe over a year ago, and I think it's important to point out this was before the summer events. You know, there were a lot of people,
right.
like you all, thinking about these issues long before August 11th and 12th. But a group of us came together, my colleague Maggie Guggenheimer, another colleague who teaches in the American Studies program and Art History program, Carmen Higginbotham, and we're discussing ways to, I think, really complicate the Charlottesville landscape. I mean, we have all of these sites, you know, they're significant for different reasons to different people, but a lot of the reasons behind their significance, particularly for our African Americans in the community, have been lost with time. You know, they've been bulldozed over.
Right.
They've been redeveloped, gentrified. How do we kind of return some of that history and that awareness and that consciousness to the landscape? And we decided to do this power washing water stencil project.
Mm.
So we pulled quotes from the fire this time,
mm-hmm.
A collection of essays edited by a 2-time national a book award-winning author, Jesmyn Ward, and the book is inspired by, you know, the late, great James Baldwin.
Yes.
You know, I'm finding a lot of people, exactly, the Baldwin, a lot of people are returning to his work right now
yeah.
because of that inspiration mm-hmm. and the way he was prolific.
Mm-hmm.
He has this quote, and I'll share it real quick. He says, "Society must accept some things as real, but he must always know that visible reality has a deeper one and that all our action and achievement rest on things unseen." So that's where
yes.
the quote came from, things unseen.
Yeah.
Hashtag unseen Sevil.
Yes. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So all the quotes, there are 10 quotes total, 10 different locations
mm-hmm.
are pulled from the fire this time. We pull quotes over the course of the academic year, working with students, Professor Higginbotham, Maggie Guggenheimer, and each of the quotes speak to that unseen history,
right,
for that particular site.
Oh, for the particular. So the quote, right, the matches quotes, the history
and the
of the site.
Were intentionally paired.
Oh, that's
exactly.
Awesome.
And if you go on our website, virginiahumanities.org/unseenseaville, you see the interpretation that we worked on with the students. And also with a lot of community historians, we sat down over the year and it helped guide the students in their work.
Right. So, so what are some of the places that you have these quotes?
All over. So the public library, the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
Yeah.
We have a quote right outside the steps there. There's a quote on UVA's campus, the Gibbons House, which is one of their new dorms in honor of an enslaved couple on campus on campus there.
Yes, Isabella and William.
Exactly, exactly. We picked the site of Now Hall and New Cabell Hall because we know that historically that was a free black community called Canada.
Right.
So different sites like that throughout the city. There's a quote right outside of City Hall and the police station.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So what's that one say?
Hold on, let me pull it up. Let's see.
I wonder what that one says, Justin.
Yeah, we got into a little trouble out there.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Hey, it ain't fun if you ain't getting in trouble.
That's right.
Exactly.
Hey,
you know, but it worked.
You know what? You know you're doing it right when they mad at you.
Right, right. It worked out. It worked out.
Exactly.
You know, they called the higher ups. You know, they knew we had approval. So they, made sure we did that before. Mm-hmm. Let me find the one outside. I think it's "These are all our causes."
Mm.
Yeah, that's it. "These are all our causes." That's a quote by Edridge. And that's a message to my daughters. And in that that text, really just preparing the next generation for some of the challenges that they may face as young black women.
Right.
It's a powerful essay, and we decided to place it outside of City Hall and the police station because it directly deals with black bodies and our safety.
Right.
Corner of West Main and 4th, 4th Northeast, you got a quote from Edwidge Dandekat, "Streets Were Never Ours."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you talk about why that quote, why there?
Yeah, let me pull the student explanation. All right, so that's on West Main, outside of Tavern and Grocery, a little... I don't know what you call
it.
A little restaurant.
It's a cute little restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So this is the explanation. So Tavern and Grocery represents the gentrification of Charlottesville as this upscale bar and restaurant occupies the location of Inge's Store, an African-American small business that operated there for over 100 years. Mm-hmm. Though a small plaque remains on the brick next to the Tavern and Grocery, this monumental aspect of Charlottesville history is easily overlooked, leading to an erasure of Charlottesville's history.
Mm.
This quote sheds light on the historical racial displacement in Charlottesville. The streets were never ours.
Wow.
We're never getting sponsored by them.
I mean, and you know, let me put out there, though, again, they were very gracious. We tried, as much as possible to work with, the local sites,
So when you take these quotes and when you put them on, so what does that look like? Do you put them on public display? Is it like a plaque? Is it like, do you put it in front of, like, how do you capture the people's attention with these quotes as they're passing these certain spaces?
Right.
Because I don't want to knock on you because I haven't seen one yet. So maybe I'm just not paying enough attention. But I just want to know, like, how is it, like, portrayed and how do you capture the people's attention with it?
Right, right. I mean, it's very subtle. Again, if you have to go to the particular spots, and we tried our best to pinpoint the exact location where they are. But essentially what we did is we worked with this company called United Painting. And they brought out their power washing equipment. We had produced the stencils with facilities at UVA, but you're placing the stencil on the ground, you power wash over the stencil, and the dirt that's removed becomes the letters that are left behind.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like a natural graffiti.
Exactly. Graffiti that won't get people, locked up or whatever it means. Here we are. We're just using water.
Right on.
Yeah, but it has a lot of a symbolism behind it.
It does.
One thing representing, again, like I said, the erasure of this history.
Because the quote will naturally fade as the sidewalk gets dirty again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The fading of this history.
Message.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, it's deep.
That is so deep, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But then also this aspect of removing, like you're removing away.
You're removing layers of.
Exactly.
Yes.
You're cleaning. We had one woman on Twitter. She said it turns whitewashing on his head.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, so trying
yes.
to.
It does. That's
one
awesome.
Of my favorite James Baldwin quotes were just portrayed as Liberation Day the other day. One wishes that Americans, white Americans, would read for their own sakes the record and stop defending themselves against it. The fact that they have not yet been able to do this, to face their history, to change their lives, hideously menaces this country. Indeed, it menaces the entire world. Also by James Baldwin. So,
yeah.
Bro, so much inspiration.
So, like,
yeah, oh my God. Yeah, yeah. Like, I wish someone had just walked around with him with a recorder.
Right.
You know, because there was so much. There's so much that we like missed from him.
Right.
And even when you see him talk, he knows it too.
Oh, yeah, he knows it. Oh, he knows it. Yeah, for real.
He's like, y'all know why I'm here, smoking that cigarette all the time. Like, so cool. Yeah.
But, you know, but again, I think what was the statistic around emancipation in Charlottesville was it over half African American?
Yeah,
50%. More. Yeah, so it's slightly more than African American in you know, walking around today, you wouldn't know that.
You wouldn't know it.
So I guess I share that quote also to like gauge into like, what do you feel is the role of white moderates to, you know, embrace and take part, and how do you move the middle, as we use as a narrative term, like how do you plug people in that weren't necessarily plugged into this fight before, notwithstanding like A11, A12 and that tragedy, but like how do you still keep people energized and still keep people like, you know, like,
well, and is that what this project is for, is to keep people motivated and energized, and or is it to wake people up?
Right. I mean, I think, you know, it's all of the above. Is to wake people up, is to present these issues and keep it on the forefront of their mind. But for white moderates, right, that is the piece that's missing.
Right.
We need that additional, you know, those additional forces.
Right.
I mean, I would argue that it's in if I'm talking to a white moderate, I would say it's in your self interest to align with, you know, those of us who are doing this social justice work. It truly is in your self-interest.
And because they don't realize how this system hurts them.
Right, right. And then also thinking about, I think, the shifts that are occurring, I mean, demographically, like if I was a white man, I would be doing everything I possibly could to ensure that people had a living wage, that our schools were improved. I mean, if you think about the fact that the majority in this country will be brown and black very soon.
Yep.
And a lot of them, I mean, that's interchangeable in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we want a disenfranchised majority in this country?
Right.
What does that look like when the majority of American citizens are not earning a livable
wage,
are not receiving a quality public education? Like, what does that look like for our country? And so for white people, I would say that it is in your interest to improve all of these services.
Right. For everyone.
Exactly. Because the future of our country is dependent upon this next generation that is black and brown.
Yep.
So,
can I just jump in with a really quick story from that reminds me? I was listening to a report. So throughout the week, this station does syndicated progressive talk. And then we have these wonderful local shows here on the weekend, like now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what there was a really interesting story that somebody told about watching an interview with a really rich European, and he was being interviewed in the States, and I think maybe it's from the Netherlands or something like that. And they asked him about his tax rate and how much he was taxed.
Yes.
And he said, and I forget how much it was, but it's so much higher than the tax rate for Americans. Yeah. And the interviewer just wouldn't let it go. And he's like, how do you feel about that? And the guy's like, no, I'm fine with that. That's good.
Right.
But the interviewer kept coming back to it. It's like, like, really? Like, you're taxed that much?
Right. Right.
And finally, the guy just said, I don't want to be a rich person in a poor country.
Mm.
Yes.
What I thought you were talking about, and this is conversely, I remember hearing about, I don't know what, but it was a rich American on the other side, and they were asking, they were asking this dude, I forget his name, but they were asking him, like, what do you think that the average, or like a comfortable living wage is? And he said, I don't know, $450,000 a year.
Yes, I
or
saw
something
that.
Like that. And I was like,
dude, then how many people 000? Do you think are making that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what
that's comfortable
distorted
for you,
reality
that's
do you live in? To think that, like, right? That's just a comfortable wage, and like,
right,
everybody makes that.
Wow.
And if they don't make that, then there's something wrong with their drive or their ambition or like their station
right
in life.
Wow. They need to pull themselves up by their
own
bootstraps.
So it just shows, like, the, you know, the disparity of like compassion and understanding
right
between, you know, rich Europeans and rich Americans.
Right.
Europeans
right
have been through tragedy, and
right
sadly enough, do we have to go through like this major American tragedy to understand
right
like what we like? Wasn't slavery enough? Was
but
in German camps
but
enough?
It was,
wasn't,
but it's not, because they don't see that. That is something that is so removed from their understanding. It's too far away for them to have any empathy or sympathy about it.
So let me ask you this, Justin. Do you think that's why they call these public art installations, you know, to have an artistic lean rather than a political lean? Do you think that...
Yeah, it's so much easier to do an art installation, but the actual policy that's necessary. So I'll give an example.
Mm-hmm.
When I first arrived in Charlottesville, I think there was a forum. There was a forum at the Jefferson School on public housing.
Mm. Uh-huh. I was there.
Standing room only, like lines going out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And looking at this crowd, I mean, I'm new to the community. I'm thinking, if there are this many people concerned about public housing that's affordable, or not even public housing, just affordable housing, period. If there are this many people concerned about affordable housing,
we're gonna be all
where,
right.
But where is it though? That's the thing.
Right.
You know, like forum. I mean, we have this conversation a lot, you know, at work. Like kind of forums as pastime, like leisure
right
activities.
Right.
You know,
like, oh, I'll go, and that'll be that's my contribution.
Yeah, because,
I went.
Yeah. So you know, the art installations, the dialogues, the forums, the town halls. Those are the easy steps. Bringing scholars together, having a panel. Those are the easy things.
Yeah. But,
translating that to actual policies, I don't know where the disconnect is, because it seems like there's an interest without the action that's necessary to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you need
I'm
to show this to our Facebook Live audience, because this is awesome. I love that.
Mm.
The streets were never ours. Wow.
So we got to take them.
Yes, America is not post-racial. Neither is Charlottesville. Mm. I like that.
Justin, what's your favorite unseen Seville story?
Ooh. Oh, how much time do I have?
Got a few minutes. Like
all right, hold on. Let me...
Four.
Favorite story, favorite quote? What's the...
Either one.
Let's see.
Like, most personally reflective, or the one that you think is the most like important for people to go and see and witness and understand.
Well, I can tell you one of the essays that, I mean, they're all incredible essays, but we pulled two quotes from Claudia Rankine, who, you know, is phenomenal.
Yes,
yeah.
I love
and prefacing
her.
I don't mean to like disregard anybody else's. I'm just asking
course
for Justin's personal preference.
Of course not, but the students ultimately chose, you know, four words. It says, "For simply being black."
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it struck me when they chose it, but then also as they were power washing it in. And that's, that quote is on the site of Canada, where
wow
in that free black community.
Yes.
And, you know, the loss of that community and the expansion of the university.
Right.
You know,
right.
Why was that community lost? And, you know, for simply being black.
Right.
And you
yes
think of all the things we have to endure. For simply being black.
True. Mm-hmm.
That line from Claudia Rankine really hit me.
What students? Who came up with that?
So two groups of students. So Carmen Higginbotham teaches an American Studies course, and her background is in public art. And so, yeah, students at
UVA?
Students at UVA.
Mm-hmm.
We worked with about, I'd say over the course of two semesters, maybe about 50 to 60 students. And we paired them with, I'd say maybe about 40 different community historians to work out the sites and the quote selection.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's great work, Justin, and I can't wait to walk around town and see absolutely every single one of them.
And you have a map? Do you have a map that, like, shows and locates? Is that
that's a good idea? Actually, we probably should just do a map and put it online.
Yeah,
you know,
that'd be great, and you can make it like a little tour thing, and people like walk around.
Right now, you know, we have the addresses, but I think it probably
because like when you like put it out like that, I'm thinking like there's a place that I need to be, that, like a public art installation. Like there's a place, but if there's multiple places, like I can check it all out in like a nice afternoon, like this when it's not so freaking cold. Like 2 days after spring.
Yeah. Are you, okay?
I'm so over this. I'm so, I'm starting to get like, irritable when, when it's cold outside.
I understand that. Wow. Like, I'm seeing that.
I'm really like,
it's okay.
Sorry to change the subject.
It will, it will warm up. It will. It's going to happen.
I hope so.
You don't like no cold, dude.
Like no cold.
You don't like no cold.
You know, the worst part is stepping out of the shower. Stepping out of the shower on a cold ass 27 degree morning. That's right. Yeah, I'm gonna take it there. It's a little personal. It's a little personal because I gotta get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to like do my thing. So I gotta shower at like this ungodly hour.
Yeah, ready, you know,
and I can see my breath in the bathroom. The lotion, I'm like
crystallizing on your face. Yeah.
Not good. Yeah. And all in this region down here at that degree. I'm just saying.
Thank God the camera was not on him
Justin
when he did that.
Justin Reed, it is so good.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all for
to
having me.
To meet your present, brother. Yeah. I gotta get you. You're gonna hang out, right? You're gonna hang out, chill in the lounge. You got things to do.
I gotta head to another. So the book fest is still going on.
Yeah. Can I Facebook you?
I'm not on Facebook.
Neither do I. Actually,
I've got your information.
I'm on Twitter. I am on Twitter though.
Because we gotta get some coffee.
Yeah.
Like everything you said has been.
Actually,
riveting.
I have something to talk to you about too.
All right, am I still on there? Griffin Boulevard. Follow me. That's a whole nother story.
Griffin Boulevard.
Yeah, Menage a Cafe.
Yeah, that's a historic Black community in my hometown that was lost as a local university.
We need to talk. I got something for you to be. We need to
exclude me. I want to be.
Right.
We got to talk.
The three of us.
I'm just
going to
be like this. Just looking in your dreamy eyes, just like listening to all of your wonderful stories.
I'm glad to be here. I'm a fan.
Yeah, man. Good to have
you.
Please come back. Please come back. Well, you know what we'll do? We'll do the Unseen Seville wrap up.
Yeah.
Even now, thinking about the students, you asked about students, I'm wondering, this next time, can we get some high school students involved?
Yes.
You know, especially given everything that's going on nationally.
Right.
They're hungry for
something. They're hungry for
something. We'll make it happen.
Exactly.
We'll make it happen.
Exactly.
Justin Reed, thank you so much. I know you got to go. And we got things to do. Are we doing stuff? We're just going to do the drop, and then we'll be right back. We're going to pay some bills. This is Homegrown. Drop! 23 minutes past the hour. If you just tuning in, this is Homegrown.
That's a nice little cadence there.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm DVS. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. We have with us two of our most favorite guests.
Yay!
It is that time of the year. Yeah. Nine Pillars Hip Hop Culture Fest is back in Charlottesville.
I am so excited.
Remy St. Clair.
Yeah.
Fellow man, the organizers and the musicians behind this wonderful week-long affair, April 2nd through April 8th.
Right.
And so my mama's birthday. What a beautiful gift for us all.
Aww. You going to take your mama?
Take
Mama D.
I might have to do that.
Happy early birthday, Mama D.
Yeah, what's up?
All the love.
I have to be, I feel low-key dumb because I just now got the DVS.
Wow.
No, it's okay. It takes people a while.
It took me like a year and a half.
Well, you know, when I first met him, he was like, yeah, everybody calls me DVS. And I was like, okay, I get that. Like, I've met you. And then I realized, I was like, oh, right, initials.
Gotcha.
Oh, I get you.
Yeah, it's not like me, it's just my initials. I'm not really.
It is you.
It is.
You're devious in a good way.
I'm mischievous.
You are devious in a good way.
I'm a rapscallion.
a lovely little
only
trickster.
Misdemeanors. Yeah. Only misdemeanors. No. No
rogues.
Yes. Yes. Skirmishes.
That's
only
okay.
Skirmishes.
Remy's the same way. All right. So y'all are
together. last year was
very
amazing.
True.
Last year's Hip Hop Culture Fest was amazing.
Oh my God.
My favorite was a Hip Hop Symposium with
yes. Oh my God, that was
Mike
so
Max.
Amazing.
Yeah. Hope is Mike Mack back?
No. Micah Medic is not back.
Who's back? What's new? What's happening?
Well, I will tell you. So the Wednesday lecture, which was basically like what we're trying to do is do, sort of like a more brainy event in the middle of the week. Mm-hmm. So the Wednesday lecture last year was with Micah Medic. This year we have
for all you conscious rappers.
That's right. That's right. For all y'all woke folk. Right. This year for the woke folk we have. Dr. A.D. Carson.
Yes! Oh, snap.
I was hoping.
Helping us out with an oral history of Charlottesville
he was
rap
great
music.
At the March Against Gun Violence yesterday.
Yeah, love that's him. Awesome. Yeah, he's going to be curating a panel on the oral history of Charlottesville rap music. It's going to be at UVA on Old Cabba Hall, Room 107. It's nice. called Sally's Kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're just going to be talking about as much of the history. We got some old heads and some youngins in there, talking about as much of the history
nice.
of the hip hop scene in this city as we can get through.
Right. Nice. Nice.
Hopefully complete with archival footage, photographs and all of that. So, hopefully the idea is to turn this into the basis of, a local rap music archive mm-hmm. for the UVA Library's Special Collections. Mm.
All right. Now, we're going to get into the entire Hip Hop Culture Fest lineup towards the end. But I just want to, cover a few things. So, what year is this for Nine Pillars?
Year two.
Year two?
Yeah.
Has this been easier or harder for you guys?
It's been harder to put together
this one than
to
last
come up
one.
With yeah. stuff?
Elaborate. Talk about that.
I am twice as busy as I was this time last year.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a good way. Remy's twice as busy. We both have two jobs at the moment.
Nice.
Everybody, essentially all the organizers are just way busier than we were. It's easier because we have the structure, in place this year, so we can sort of, put the pieces in where they need to go. We don't need to create everything from the ground up. But yeah, it's just been because of everything else going on in life. It's been harder. Yeah.
Do you think it's just been harder just because, for lack of better words, y'all have gotten bigger? Just in a local sense. Let's be real, y'all, because,
Now you have a reputation.
Beat yourselves on the back.
So you've got to, match that or top it. You can't go below
people
it.
People see you on the street, they know who you are.
We haven't really been thinking about, topping last year. It's more along the lines of filling in the blanks of what we didn't hit last year.
Okay.
So, the elements of, the Nine Pillars that we missed last year, or we feel as though we didn't really nail down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're building up this
right
year.
On.
So we have some new babies in the family. We're going to see how they're going to work out.
Oh, yeah.
We had a few things taken away, but, we got plans.
I like new babies.
Yeah, new babies.
I like the new babies.
Yeah.
Y'all want to talk about the new babies?
Let's talk about everything.
Let's talk about the new babies. I want to hear April 2nd through April 8th rundown, location, who going to be there.
Well, we're going to start this thing off like we do every year with the youth, with the freshman class, middle school and high school hip hop competition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be going down at the African American Heritage Center.
Yes.
5 p.m. on April 2nd. All right. And after that, we're going to be sliding on down to 4th Street. We're going to have a candlelight vigil.
Nice.
And we're going to be burning black candles. We're going to try to extinguish some of that negative energy that's in that area.
Amen.
I was one of the members of the hip hop community that was down there. It was a lot of us down there.
Yeah.
So a lot of us, seen firsthand what went down. So I feel as though we're the best ones to go ahead and expel that energy and, take our city back bit by bit. And that's mm-hmm. the way we can start.
And for any artist in the hip hop realm, mm-hmm. this is an open call, actually, for anybody who wrote material about August 12th. We're going to have special a cappella performances. by those artists of the pieces they wrote there at the corner of 4th and Water Street on Monday night.
Yeah, Cool. And then we're moving on to Tuesday.
Tuesday. This is Remy's. Yeah, Remy's excited about this.
This is my baby.
He's quivering right now.
I've always wanted to put together a fashion show and organize a fashion show with live music.
Really? My man going Yeezy at the hip hop.
I'm not designing nothing. I used to get my model on back in the day, but you know, I'm going to try to get this thing together.
Okay.
So
yo, check the humility. I used to do it.
But we wanted to give the element of fashion, you know, because that's very important in hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
yes.
I mean? You gotta have the Kangos, you know what I'm saying? You gotta have the shell toe.
You gotta have the look.
That was very important.
Sidebar,
you know what I'm saying?
Superfly remake being made.
Yeah, I saw that.
I just saw that. Director X is doing it. So yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's
all
important.
It's all about, you know, selling the fashion.
So are you auditioning for that? Is that why are you on your way to that audition today?
I'm mad as hell.
You know what? He got the hair. He working that hair.
He got that hair. I can just slick it back.
That hair is on point, right?
See,
it's on point.
Got it.
Don't gas me up. Don't gas me up.
You got it.
Don't gas me up. Turn it back to fell. All right, let's go. But, is that Tuesday?
So, yeah, my Tuesday. Bad. So what we're doing is, yeah, you got to do it, man. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to put together a fashion show, but not just any fashion show. We're going to do it Nine Pillars Rip the Runway style. So what we are going to do is we're going to have a live go-go band playing while the models are walking. It's going to be dope.
Shout out 100 Proof Go-Go Band.
Yeah, 100 Proof Go-Go Band will be in the building playing while the models are strutting.
Yeah.
We also have DJ SG playing as well.
Okay.
SG the DJ.
Yeah, ready to get you going. And we're going to have soul food there as well.
So, Miss Tiff.
Yeah, Miss Tiff's catering. She's,
oh, my God.
Yeah, she's going down. So the name of the event is Heart, Soul, and Runway. So, you know, we're going to do it like that, you know.
Yeah. Free admission and you pay for plates.
Right.
Right? We're still right. That. Yep.
Yeah. How much is a plate?
Depends on how deep she puts a foot in it.
I tell you this, the first year they had the macaroni and cheese and greens competition, she mm-hmm. won the macaroni and cheese competition.
Right on. Miss Katrina won it this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's playing hardball. So,
okay.
You know,
she's coming back for that crown. Yeah. That's what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
All right.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday, we talked about already. That's Sally's Kids.
Yep.
On UVA grounds, Old Cabell Hall, room 107, featuring A.D. Carson and perhaps a surprise or two.
Nice.
Thursday.
You'll watch KRS-One walk in the building.
The teacher! Fresh! 2008. Team.
Right.
You suckers. He just says that and leaves.
Right.
Yeah.
That's enough. And I'm enlightened.
So Thursday, this is another one where, like with the fashion show, like Remy said, we're trying to fill in the gaps of things that maybe didn't get as represented as they could have last year. Thursday is, and I've said this on, this is the third radio airwave I've said this on now, and I haven't had anyone challenge it. So if anyone's listening, please do. To my knowledge, this is going to be the first ever all-female hip-hop show that's ever occurred in the city of Charlottesville.
Yes.
Are you serious?
What?
Yep.
DJ, host, everybody.
Really?
All female. Yep. Yes.
You know what? I love y'all.
Aw.
I just love y'all.
I love you too, Leslie.
Please, is Tayshia coming?
Tayshia could not make it, unfortunately.
She blew up after the last one. You know, that's what y'all do.
We tried.
It got too big. And then
in Atlanta.
She doing it up. Yeah.
But we do have MC Juice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Juice Box, as you know from the Rise and Grind Morning Show on your sister station.
Yeah,
nice.
We have Miss Bonnie Cash.
Yeah.
Right on.
We have a high school student who was the runner-up of last year's freshman class, mm-hmm. Anaja Johnson, a.k.a. Legendary Goddess.
Goddess.
Okay. Yes!
We have, from Over the Mountain, we have Katie Littlebird.
Okay.
Yeah.
And finally, we have Miss America.
Yes.
Who performed at our block party last year with her husband Tony Testimony and Junebug? If any of y'all remember little Junebug,
Little Junebug.
And of course on the ones and twos we have DJ Tova, and hosting for the evening we have Ms. Destiny Wright.
Yes,
yay, Destiny! Yeah. Oh my God,
it's gonna be lit.
This is so
it's gonna be amazing.
Oh my God!
Okay,
yeah, I'm hyped.
Friday. Okay.
Friday.
Oh, boy. See, that's Thursday. We haven't even gotten to Friday yet. Right. Thursday is this, lit.
This is, yeah.
Friday, we have the DJ battle, the Make the Cut DJ battle. It's going to be going down at La Patrona. Oh, I should say, by the way, Thursday night, the all-female Rugged Arts. That's going to be at the Music Resource Center.
MRC, okay. Baby.
Nice.
You haven't been to a Rugged Arts.
It's too big. You got to put it in a bigger place.
Exactly. Yeah. T-Bazaar, we love them, but it was
so yeah.
Was not right for this event.
Yeah.
So
they made this event happen due to their due to they were putting them on. So
their patronage.
You know, much love to T Bazaar. Yeah, absolutely.
So Friday is the DJ battle, Make the Cut DJ battle at La Patrona, behind Sticks on Preston Avenue. Mm-hmm. We have $750 value of prizes. We have two powered studio monitors, courtesy of Crutchfield. Mm. They came through with the prize package. Plus $200 cash for the first place winner.
Nice.
And a chance to spin a set at the block party, which we'll be talking about in a minute. We got $100 cash and a chance to spin at a future Rugged Arts for the second prize winner. And we got $50 cash for the third prize winner. So even if you're third, you still walk away with $50.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to know how cool was Crutchfield about giving stuff away? Like, I know that in the past, like, stuff that I've done with them, they've been really good about, like, oh, what do you need? Yeah, cool, here you go. Were they that way this time, too?
Yeah, they were super cool about it.
Awesome.
They really wanted to support. It's a great company, you know. They seem to have a lot of love for the local scene and really want to, you know, especially when they see that you're not doing it for profit.
Right.
You know. So what I've noticed between this new one, the new Nine Pillars Hip Hop Culture Fest, and the last one, is it's kind of like the first one was like the origin story. You know, like when you see Marvel movies, they kind of show the origin story of how,
we're
kind of showing you like what hip hop means and how it got here and what it is in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. And now y'all are kind of like celebrating hip hop and like y'all are showing the maximum superpowers that hip hop can do in Charlottesville and like kind of celebrating it in more of its form. So like, talk about that. Was that like an intended decision to like take this to the next level and not just be like, we're just gonna put on hip hop shows. We're just gonna talk about hip hop. We're gonna just take it to the next level and be like, this is what hip hop is and love it or leave it. This is what it is in Charlottesville.
I think we weren't really trying to necessarily take it to the next level. It's just something we've always done. We've always tried to top the next act. We've always tried to, you know, just step outside the box and give the people health wise, spiritually wise, what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And also get our fill as well, because we need it just as well as they do.
Mm-hmm. So for people that haven't, you know, taking part in Nine Pillars and are just listening to us for the first time and don't necessarily know what it is, explain the meaning of the Nine Pillars, what the Nine Pillars represent. And of course, we know why it's important to do this in Charlottesville, but why, from your own words, is it important to do it in Charlottesville to the average white moderate that's listening in the 94.7?
Well, what we talked about earlier, a fellow we mentioned named KRS-One, who we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The God. He identified the nine elements of hip-hop. Most people talk about the five, but with his sort of colloquium that he put together, they identified four additional ones. So the nine pillars are MCing, DJing, b-boying, also known as breakdancing, graffiti art, beatboxing, street knowledge, street fashion, street language, and street entrepreneurialism, trade, and business. Those are the nine elements, also known as the nine pillars of hip-hop. Hopefully, as you can see, you know, like as we've been going through the schedule, Each event is designed to hit a particular element, or more than one.
Yeah.
You know, as with the fashion show, we've got some music, we have some entrepreneurialism, helping out a local black-owned business, right? And the fashion. So
yeah.
So Remy, why Charlottesville?
This is
why
home.
Is it important?
I got the easy question.
Home.
In any community,
right.
To lift up and like showcase your local talent and, you know, especially the youth, and embrace that and, you know, hone it and have a place for it and know and have and let, you know, people of color in the community know that there is a space for this.
Right.
That, you know, if I work on my craft, I can perform at Nine Pillars, or Remy's going to put on a spot for me, or Fellow Man's going to put on a spot for me. Like, I, like, my art is valid in my community.
Right.
Why? I guess I kind of said why.
Yeah, I think you did.
So, so my question is, so is this fashion show kind of going to kind of be like prom?
Is it going to be like prom?
Is it going to be like prom? You know, like everybody, you know,
now, see,
strutting
no,
their stuff.
Not, we're not doing this. This is a Nine Pillars fashion show.
There will be well, no boutonnieres.
I mean, I'm expecting so, a black
nephew,
prom.
Nephew to auntie. All right, we're going to do it like this. All right,
okay.
So real talk. This is going to be absolutely amazing. We have a couple of designers. Foxy White from Richmond.
Ooh, okay.
And then we have Martina Fortune from here. She's going to be doing her thing. They are going to have men's, women's, and kids' fashion. So we're getting the whole family involved.
Oh, all right.
It's a family thing. You
all
know
right.
What I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times on the runway, it's lopsided. You just see men's fashion, you mm-hmm. see women's fashion.
Exactly.
Everything is separate, though.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to group everything together.
As
we're
family.
Have a live band going off
oh,
in the background.
That's
you know?
Awesome.
And I think that is really dope. And fashion is really, really important. I mean,
oh,
what
yeah.
would we do without the
mm-hmm.
Doobie Chains?
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you got to understand the importance of that fashion and hip hop. You know what I'm saying? So, we trying to get it together.
However, you know, Leslie, it's funny that you mentioned prom because I actually work at Monticello High School. And I'm chaperoning prom this year.
Oh.
Yeah, and my girlfriend has actually never been to a prom. So I wanted to take this opportunity live on the radio to ask Emma, will you go to prom with me?
Oh my god.
She's out in
That's
the lobby
beautiful.
And there's a 10-second delay, so it's gonna be an awkward couple of seconds.
Yo, Emma, if you're here, you got to come through and give your answer.
I'm gagging right now.
Oh my god, if she's not in this lobby right now.
Yo, that's too funny. She's like, I'm sorry, I was on the can. What you
say? Yeah. She said yes.
Yes. She said
I am gagging right now.
Homegirl. Where dreams come true.
Monticello
wow.
prom.
Oh my god.
MHS prom, we will see you on April 14th.
Oh, wow.
That's one of the dopest things that's ever happened on our show.
See,
wow.
Okay, so
that was
Cullen,
magic.
Cullen messaged me like 2 days ago, and he's like, I want to do something on the show, but it's a surprise. You got to help me. He's like, it's not stupid, right? I'm not being silly, right? I'm like, no, this is the most adorable thing ever.
I had no idea. Surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it surprised cool. Remy, too.
Good on
hey,
you,
yo,
mate.
Do we, as long as we're doing special announcements, do we have time?
You got 2 minutes.
We got 2 minutes? We have time to drop. All right, this is an exclusive.
Uh-oh.
On Homegrown.
You like exclusives?
This is the first time we are announcing the full lineup for the Nine Pillars Block Party.
Nice.
April, awesome. April 8th. If you recognize one of these names, you will probably recognize all of them because it's that thick of a lineup.
Oh, my God.
You want to go back and forth, Remy?
Yeah, YC.
YC, nice. A.K.A. Malcolm Wills. We got Illville Crew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, V-Dot.
We got Jay Wills.
Lee Banger.
Mm-hmm.
We got Keese.
Yes!
Yeah. We got Big Lean.
We have Sunday.
We have, oh, yeah, Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quinn Books. We have Shad Gill.
Yeah. Keynote.
Keynote. We have Notes, A.K.A. C.T. Smith. Also the devious one.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, he's coming. He's coming for your title.
Okay, all right. We're going to have to have a conversation here. Yeah.
We have
mine says it on my birth certificate. Real? I don't know about that, brother. Mm.
We have Real from Over the Mountain. We also have Beauvais and special guest from Woodbridge, Virginia, XL the Truth.
Yeah.
Oh.
Awesome.
Boom.
Boom.
That's an
That's so, what it's more like. It's like the nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
April. Keese is amazing. Keese is my like lock in to be like that dude coming out of VA. All right, yeah. I know. Wrapping it up. Oh my god!
Thank you guys so much.
No
y'all gonna be back.
We love ya.
Nine Pillars Hip Hop Culture Fest, April 2nd through April 8th. It's going down.
Search. Search Nine Pillars, N-I-N-E, Pillars, on Facebook. Find all the info you need.
Yes. Right on. Thank you
so much.
Thank you for having us.
Cool. All right. That's, they're always the best. They're always the best. It is 45 minutes past the hour. Like we just said, this is Homegrown. You missed an amazing show. Stay tuned after the show for a previously recorded episode of the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guests are representative of the Kudzu Project, talking about the craftism movement. Kudzu Project. Talking about the craftism movement. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, your God.
What a show.
So now we have a list of stuff.
What's coming up?
The list of stuff.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
You just rearranged.
I totally rearranged. I thought we were skipping it. I thought we were skipping it.
Oh, my God.
All right. I got it. Now, currently running. Registration of 4 Live Arts Theater Summer Theater Camp and Shows is now open. What is wrong with my throat? For more information, check summer at livearts.org. And now through April the 8th, the Actors Renaissance Season at the American Shakespeare Center presents Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, Congreve's The Way of the World, John Marston's Antonio's Revenge, and Hamlet, and Richard II. All by Shakespeare. All the Blackfriar Playhouse. Not all by Shakespeare. By Shakespeare. All the Blackfriar Playhouse in Stanton. Last Chance. Current works by McGuffey artist Judy McLeod. Hanging as Les Yeux de Mont Gallery. Last Chance for Noises Off at 4 County Players. Last Chance for Fun Home at Live Arts Theater. That's the extended run, so you better catch it today, now, and today and tomorrow. Auditions for Oak Grove Theater 28 season at the Mary Baldwin University Deming Fine Arts Center, bottom floor. Everyone is encouraged to attend both auditions. Today, final day of the Virginia Festival of the Book. See their website, www.vabook.org, for events listing March 8th, March 28th. Oh, my God. Open mic at the Bridge, PAI Initiative. Oh, my God. March 29th through April 7th. You're in town. Presented by the UVA Drama Department. I'm getting back in the grind. It's been a while. In the Culber Theater. March 29th, Playback Theater Virginia at TiVo Coffee, doing a benefit performance for the International Rescue Committee. March 29th, Antio Comedy Host Battle Edition with Chris Allen and Winston Hodges. At the Anteroom. That's what dudes. March 29th, the Virginia Conservation Network, the state affiliate of the National Wildlife Association, presents an evening of short films on public land, clean water, fly fishing, general adventure, and more at Star Hill Brewery Tap Room. March 29th, the UVA MFA Reading Series continues at the New Dominion Bookshop this week with Valencia Robin Grice and Robin Sarkin reading from the work. And for your music options, this week.
Today, Eggs Benefit at Brasserie Saison Jazz Brunch with a portion of the proceeds going to the Bridge from now until 3. Jazz-inspired rootsy pop by Juniper's Lark at the Batesville Market at 1. Michael Clem. Hey, Michael, what's up, dude? And Tom Marshall at Glasshouse Winery at 2. Guest conductor Laura Jackson leads the Charlottesville Symphony in a concert that includes Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a theme of Paganini from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. Tonight, David Tewksbury. What's up, Tewks? At Fellini's at 6 o'clock. Waynesboro Choral Society at the Main Street United Methodist Church at 7:30. Tomorrow, Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. The 27th, Bob Huntington and Travis Elliott at Fellini's. 28th, UVA McIntyre Department of Music percussionist Yijen Fang performs in Old Cabo Hall. 28th, Pale Blue Dot at Rapture. Bobblehead at Dirty Nelly's, Josh Mayo's open mic at 1221 Market Street, the 29th, Michael Eldwood Gathering, and then Nick and Steve Pollock at Fellini's, the 30th, Deborah Guy at the Space Lab, live composed funk collective Choose Your Own Adventure holds their CD release party with Philadelphia's Tweed and Blinders at Southern Cafe and Music Hall, Irish Songbirds at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, Rattleback at Wild Wolf Brewery. John Wyatt Band breaks out at the Jimmy Buffett. Oh my God! At Proway Not a Farm Brewery. DJ Tova at Rapture. The 31st Front Porch Roots Musical presents the Roots Down Review with After Jack, Sarah White, and Catherine the Great. Interesting. Enjoy a day-long flute festival at UVA Flute Forum 2018 at Old Cowboy Hall. There's an all-day flute festival? Okay.
All-day long.
Flute festival. Okay, so we have open mic
wait a minute.
Flautist
you,
forever.
Flautists forever. He rearranged papers, and
my bad.
I don't know.
What are you doing?
Because this is the end of the week thingy, and you got the top of... Never mind.
Oh, yeah, it's right here.
Okay. All right, 31st, Renee Ruth duo involved with brewery. Several heads of... Cry Pond at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, Cherry Red at Dirty Nelly's, Jolie Philly and Whiskey Jar, DJ Groovematic at Rapture. Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam, the Front Porch Roots Music School, Seafoot, the Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church, Songwriter Night at the local. Every Tuesday, the traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero. Every Wednesday, open mic night at the Pro Ray Not a Farm Brewery.
Boom!
Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9.
Boom!
Bachata Fusion at the Ante Room, presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club.
Boom!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero. And the Mike Franciski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Splagam!
Every Thursday, we have Lua at the Bebedero. And every Thursday...
Oh, snap.
John Durf Quintet at Miller's. And that's your weekly list of what's going on. Holy crap, there's paper
drop
everywhere.
And then we'll be back. This is Homegrown. Drop! Did it! 2 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, oh my God, you've missed an amazing,
amazing show, right?
Amazing Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville on DVS. That's Leslie Clinton on the boards. Stay tuned after the show for a pre-recorded Sunday morning wake-up call. Rick Moore's your host. He's talking with the representatives of the Kudzu Project, talking about the craftism movement.
All right.
Is that like crafting in Assassin's Creed, where you make bombs and weapons for your... I'm sorry.
Somehow I don't think so.
Okay. Do the rant.
Okay. I attended a lecture Friday afternoon with Dr. Ibram Kendi. He was speaking about his book, Stamped from the Beginning, A History of Racist Ideas in America. He was brought here by the Virginia Festival of the Book. And if you're not familiar with this book, you should definitely get it and read it. Be careful, it's like 511 pages, but it's all awesome. The lecture was moved from its original location to the University Baptist Church to accommodate all the people who wanted tickets. I got there early, I chose my seat, and I waited for the inevitable disappointment that no black people would be in the room to hear this amazingly intelligent and insightful black man speak eloquently about why we are looked at as less than. Dr. Kendi is a professor, and you can tell by his words and the words that he uses and his demeanor that he's used to talking with and engaging students. Several times during his talk, he paused and chose someone in the audience, made eye contact, and said, "Does anybody know what I mean?" The ideas he talked about are the same ideas that this town in particular has wrestled with since August. So it was particularly dismaying to me that there were only 7 black people in the room and only one of them was under 30. I understand we're all busy. I understand it's hard to know what's going on at any given moment. But we need to do better. Dr. Kendi left us with a challenge. He challenged us to begin a conversation about how we talk about and how we celebrate founding fathers. He pointed out that Charlottesville has always been wrestling with the very issues he talks about in the book. Our relationship with Thomas Jefferson, yes, a founding father, but also a slave owner, also a rapist, has been the dichotomy that Charlottesville has lived with its entire life. The problem that Dr. Kendi proposes is that we have never looked at the totality of Jefferson as a person. What I like to call the Jefferson problem. We have focused solely on his good points, raising him to the level of saint, and denying his humanity just as he denied the humanity of every slave he owned. And it has to be black people that pose this question. It has to be us that make the point and never allow anyone else to forget the true history. And that's the weekly rant.
Yeah, I totally.
But that's our burden, right? As people of color in this city with this history, we have to be the ones that speak up.
First of all, I want to preface this and say I totally got your text and I wanted to go to this with you, but I had to have my try weekly meeting with my mother for lunch. So that just happened at a wrong time. Yeah, I had to talk with Mama. Busy week. But you're right. I do think that we need to do better. Yes. I also believe that people of color have carried a huge emotional labor. And
right. Right.
Most of them,
nobody, seriously, none of us like that emotional labor. Like, right. None of us.
Right. And we always have to end up doing it.
But it's always us. Like, it has to be us.
To uplift our own history.
Yeah.
And if so be it, that's the case. But, yeah. Yeah, I think all of us just need to do better right now in whatever we're doing. It's apparently the situation's not enough. Look at our current legislative situation. So.
Exactly. The situation is never going to be enough. And the thing that Dr. Kendi talked about was the question has always been posed to us that if that racism has always been about people not liking each other and being ignorant or having hate and then creating policies. And what he points out in the book is that no, the policies were created out of self-preservation. They were created out of capitalism, yeah. Out of wanting like the most out of whatever situation they were in.
Preach.
So the policies were created regardless of racism. It just so happened that those policies promoted racism. Yeah. And once that was seen, then that they kept doing it. So fixing the problem by saying, oh, if we all like each other or if we learn to love each other, everything will be fine, is not the right way to do it. Yeah. And guess what? We've tried that since the 50s. We've tried that and it has not worked. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is turn it around and go after the policy first, which means if you can't force a politician to vote the way you need him to vote, then you vote him out and you vote someone in that does share your views.
Preach. I should have been there, but I followed him on Twitter, so I guess that's enough, right?
David.
I'm sarcasm. Do better, y'all. Rick Moore is next. Kutsu Project. Craft is a movement. This is Homegrown. We'll be back next week. Thank you, guys. I love you very much, and we'll see you Sunday. Read the rest.
Read the rest of it, David. We've got like a minute left.
No, I'm done. I'm done. There's no more rest of it.
There's no more rest. That's because he...
What are you talking about? Oh, my God. I retract everything I just said.
It's been Homegrown. Show about local art. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call.
Look, there's nothing else. Where's the last page?
Thank you.
Oh, I'd like to thank our guests.
I'd like to thank our guests, Justin Reed, Remy St. Clair, and Fella Man. Any complaints for Homegrown?
I said thank you to them like 800 times
already. Talking to Overman, Munson, and Burke.
I'm just saying.
Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music from Positive Collective.
I love you, Clint.
Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10.